This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Jeremy Wolf.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Good Neighbor Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wolf, and our guest today is Angie Zumerin.
Hi.
Hope I pronounced that correctly. I got it right?
You did, yes.
Woohoo! That is 100% already going well. All right, so Angie is with Casa Salsa, right in here, right next to us in lovely Davie. Excited to get into this today with you, Angie. I've actually heard of Casa Salsa before. I've never had the pleasure of coming in there, but you know what? I'm 44. I think it might be time for me to learn how to salsa. So let's get into this. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's never too late. So you can join anytime.
The party continues, of course, yes. So Angie, tell us a little bit about Casa Salsa.
Well, we are a Latin dance studio. So we've been around for, I want to say 15, maybe 16 years now. And we teach people how to dance. We specialize in salsa and bachata, which is the group classes that we have on a weekly basis. We have a Zumba class as well. So yeah, we're in Davie, we're in Hiatus Road and State Road 84 at the Winn-Dixie Plaza, Winn-Dixie and Walgreens. And yeah, we've been there for a while. We love what we do. And yeah.
So how did you come to own a salsa studio here in Davie? Tell us a little bit about your background, your journey, and how you got into this space.
Well, I've always loved dancing since I was a kid. It's been something that I just enjoyed so much. And when I was growing up, I was always dancing anywhere, any show, through college. I was just trying to find ways to keep dancing. And I lived in California for 10 years and I moved here. And when I moved here, I was just looking for places to dance as well. And I met the back then owner of Casa Salsa, the previous owner. And he brought me along to manage the studio. So I was a studio manager at first. And later on, a few years later, he decided to do something else. You know, he started a family, so he kind of wanted to focus a little bit more on that. And I was his right hand. So the first person that he offered to kind of like pass the studio down to was me. So I was like, heck yes. And I went to school for business, for entrepreneurship. So I always wanted to combine that education with something that I was passionate about. So this was a perfect opportunity. And I always dreamed of having a dance studio, you know, down the line at some point in my life. And I never thought it was going to happen so quickly, but it did. And I didn't miss the opportunity. So I jumped right into that. And that's it. It's been the dream ever since.
So where does salsa come from? Where does it originate from? What's the history behind salsa?
Oof. Okay. Well, it's actually salsa. It's very much it's how can I say? It's a mix of different dances. It just evolved from different.
So
dances.
It's different cultures, different dances from different areas. I'm guessing in South America, or is it Mexico? Is it South America? Where's the?
No. I think the origins is in Cuba.
Cuba, okay.
It just kind of developed from other dances that were more typical from there. Salsa on two is what we teach at the studio. There's actually very different styles.
What is that? Salsa what? Salsa
on two?
On two. Salsa yes. On two.
On two. So it's different styles of salsa now. Like they evolved into many different styles. Depending where you go, they can dance differently. So salsa on two originated in New York. There's salsa on one, which is also called LA style. There is Cuban salsa, which is a little more like casino and rueda. There's Cali style, which is if you go to Colombia, that's where you'll find Cali style. So there's very different ways to dance it. The music is the same, but...
Styles vary per...
Style-wise, per person. Different. Yeah.
So what is one to expect? So speaking to everybody out there like me, right? I'm a white boy with two left feet. I got no rhythm. Have a hard time dancing. My wife is actually Peruvian, so she doesn't have that problem.
Oh, but like,
what's that? You're Peruvian too?
Yeah.
So if I come in there, so like, dancing has always been one of those things for me where when I do it, like, yeah, if I get a couple of drinks in me, maybe I'll let loose. But I feel awkward dancing because I just feel like I have no rhythm. What do you say? Like, what is somebody like me to expect if I were to come in there and try to learn how to do salsa? What does that look like?
Well, first thing, you come to the right place, because actually that's the one thing that we focus more on is beginners, because beginners are the ones who would like continue to, and they're the more excited to learn too. And you don't have to have any background in dancing. You don't have to have any experience. Two left feet are perfectly fine. So, I love teaching beginners because I love seeing how excited they get and the growth that they experience while learning something new. And yeah, you don't have to have a background, you know, you can always learn something new. So, and I love teaching beginners.
I got to say, I went to the Cooper City annual father-daughter dance a month ago, and I was actually shocked. My daughter, she's 11. She'll be 12 soon. And I asked her if she wanted to go to the dance, and I thought she was going to say, no, I don't want to do that. She said, yeah, I'll go. And I let loose. And it was one of those things where she gave me full authority to embarrass her that night. It was just the setting was right. And I went a little crazy. So I don't know what it looked like. I don't really care. I had a great time doing that. So that's why I said, like, I'm glad we're doing this today, because my wife, I think she would love. I'm always looking for cool things to do. I hope she's not listening. Looking for cool ideas and cool things to do with her. I think it would be kind of cool to take her to get salsa dancing lessons.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know where we're at now.
And you're both from Peru, so you gotta meet each other. So tell me a little bit about your background in Peru. Are you from Lima?
I'm from Lima, yes. Born and raised. Lived there, went to high school there. And when I turned 18, I moved to California, where my dad was, to go to college. So I went to college there, finished there, worked there for a little bit, then looked for something, you know, something new, an adventure. And I moved here to Florida after.
Do you make it back down to Lima often?
I do. The last time I was there was in 2020. I actually got stuck there for COVID. Ooh. I was there on vacation with my family. I was visiting my family, and my flight was scheduled to come back 2 days after everything shut down. So I got stuck there for 3 months. but it was fun because, you know, I was with my family. I was with mom and dad, and I got to spend time with them for that long. So I was a little worried because, you know, back here, things were also kind of a little bit scary. But I was able to come back after 3 months. So,
But a little blessing in disguise, right? Getting stuck down there. You got to spend 3 months with your family where you otherwise wouldn't have. So that's
nice. And luckily it was a place where, you know, I'm from. I had people that I know, I had loved ones there. So it wasn't like a random place that I got stuck. So it was okay. It was not bad.
So
it was okay.
I haven't been to Lima in many, many years, but I think either two or three, definitely two times I was there, maybe three times. Every time I've been down there, it was just a wonderful place, wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. I've had a blast down there. So lots of fun. Got to make it back soon. Very soon I'm going back.
And the food?
Hello. Oh, the Peruvian food is amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you cook at all or no?
I do. Some things. I'm not
favorite
great.
Dish. Favorite Peruvian dish. Let's go. Favorite dish.
My favorite, you're not going to know what it is, but I love Lomo Saltado.
Of course I knew what Lomo Saltado is.
But I one of my favorite ones is called Pepian, but it's not very common. It's not, you know.
What is it called?
Pepian.
Pepian. I can't believe you're right. I've not heard of Pepian. I don't know why.
Yes. It's
name not, on my wife.
Like, they don't have it at restaurants. They don't offer it. It's just like something that it's more like a family dish. And my mom makes it for my birthday because she knows I love it when she's here. So, but then anything, I eat anything, like lomo saltado, ceviche, arroz con pollo, papada con caína. Oh my God. Anything is good.
My wife made for me, it's got probably a year ago by now. She made el locro.
Locro. Yeah.
Locro. Good. And I had never tried it before, and she made that. And that's one of my favorites now, that stew. She puts, I think, I don't know if you're traditionally it has chicken in it, but I think she puts a little chicken in it, and they got the fried egg on top. I love that.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's another dish that you will try and love, but they don't really, like, if you go to a restaurant, not many restaurants offer it. So that's the same as pepian. It's the same thing.
I wonder why that is, that there's just certain dishes, because I'm sure the pepian dish is delicious too, everything.
Yes, but I think they just focus on something that is maybe it's a little more known, you know, yeah. Like people are familiar with what it looks like or what it is. I don't know.
One of life's great mysteries, Angie. One of life's great mysteries.
Exactly.
So looking back through your journey, you're from Peru, you moved over here when you were 18 as an immigrant. Did you speak English when you came here, or did you learn when you got here? Okay, so you already spoke English. So you had that under. So you came out to California. Yes. Ultimately moved down to Florida. Looking back through your journey, is there one thing in specific that comes to mind, a life hardship, a challenge, something that you struggled with that sitting here today, you could say that you're better off for having gone through that experience, or maybe like a defining moment, something along those lines? Go.
Ooh, well, I have a couple. Actually, first things first, like I think one of the challenging things I've went through twice was moving altogether, you know, from Peru to California, then California to Florida. It was challenging. It was new. I didn't know many people here. I didn't know anybody except for my family when I moved to California. So that in itself was a challenging experience. But again, I got to meet new people, grow. So those were two challenging things. But I think one of the most challenging business-wise for us was COVID, like the shutdown, the 2020 shutdown. It was really, really, really hard. I actually didn't think we were going to make it, to be honest with you. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel for a while there. And it didn't help that I was in a different country when I had to shut down the studio, you know. And luckily, we were able to get through that. We had a lot of people, a lot of students that helped us out, that supported us, that wanted to see us at the end of that. And but it was really rough because we went from full contact type of thing, you know, like we're dancing, you're holding hands with people, you're touching people, and going from there to online, people just couldn't do the jump to online because it was so completely different, different. And then coming back from that, coming out when we were able to reopen, it was still very slowly processed to just get back on our feet, basically. So it was basically like starting over. And there's still people, we follow every protocol. We make sure that people are safe, you know, doing all those things. But still, the nature of the business was very social, and that kind of took a little bit away from that. So, but slowly but surely, people just started coming out. You know, once things got a little better, more people got vaccinated and so forth, then all of a sudden, like, everybody just needed something to do. They were, you know, in home.
It's cooped up for that long. Everybody wants to let out of the cage. They want to get out there and express themselves. Let the party begin. Yes.
Everybody just came out running out of nowhere, looking for things to do. And that helped us out. But that really made me realize how much I have to take care of my people, how much I have to take care of my students, and just do the best that I can, you know, to provide the service that they love and enjoy so much. And that's what we've been doing ever since, you know. Not that we were not, but we put a little more emphasis in making sure that we're doing the best that we can to just make sure everybody is having a great time, enjoying themselves, coming back. Because if it wasn't for our students, honestly, we would not make it to the other side. So, nice. Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier at the beginning of the conversation that you also do Zumba classes.
There is, not me personally, because I don't know how I would teach anything else. I don't even know how Zumba instructors do it full time because it's very physically demanding. But there is a Zumba class, and the instructor we have is amazing. She has energy for days. So we do it once a week. We used to have it twice, but the schedule didn't quite work very well. But she's really good. She's on Tuesdays. On Tuesdays at 6:45, she's teaching there.
Out of your studio?
Yes.
I asked because my wife used to be into Zumba many, many years ago, and I'm always, again, looking for new things for her to get back into. So that's cool. All right. So Angie, for anyone out there that's listening, that would like to learn more, that wants to express themselves, wants to get out, wants to learn a little salsa and wants to get into this, how can we reach you? I know you mentioned earlier your location. Maybe mention that again, your contact information, maybe your website. Let us know how we can learn more.
Yes, we are it's called the Davie Plaza or the Plaza, something like that. It's in the corner of Hiatus Road and State Road 84. Okay. And it's there's a Winn-Dixie there. There's a Walgreens as well. The Lowe's, there's a Lowe's as well. And our website is casasalsadavie.com. You can go in there. It has all the information. You can register online. If you have questions, our number is there. You can WhatsApp us, we can text us or call us. And I'm always answering questions throughout the day whenever anybody sends any text messages. Normally when they call, it goes to voicemail because, you know, we want to make sure that we're there to actually answer. But if it's a quick text, I can answer real quick, and people are always asking questions. And we do group classes, we do private lessons, we do workshops, we do social events. In fact, this Sunday we have an event going on. I don't know when this is going to air, but this Sunday, 17th, we have a St. Patrick's barbecue in Markham Park. And we do this every year. So we try to keep some social events going on. We also have a monthly social. So when you go dance, it's the last Saturday of the month. So if students come in and they practice, we have a DJ, and it's a lot of fun. So yeah, come join us anytime. We're here. We love teaching. We are very passionate about it. Everybody's super nice. And come meet us.
Love it. Love what you're doing, Angie. We will, of course, link in the description to all of your contact information. Thanks so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.
This is what we do. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. And we will catch everyone next time. Have a wonderful day and take care.
Thanks for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Cooper City. To nominate your favorite local business to be featured on the show, go to GNPCooperCity.com. That's GNPCooperCity.com, or call 954-231-3170.